The adequacy of water supply is determined not only by the average amount of water available in a year, but also by the variability and predictability of the rainfall. The African savanna, and even more, the African Sahel, is characterized not only by low levels of rainfall relative to potential evapotranspiration, but also by extreme variability of rainfall. Drought risk is very high. In many years, the rains fail entirely, without enough precipitation to produce a crop. My colleagues, Casey Brown and Upmanu Lal, have found that the variability of water availability is strongly and negatively related to per capita income. Countries with high rainfall variability tend to be poorer, and low variability, higher predictability, is associated with greater economic prosperity. Brown and Lal's findings highlight the need for better storage of water during the rainy season and adequate irrigation during the dry season in countries with high rainfall variability. In humid and subhumid tropical regions with plentiful rainfall and low-cost irrigation, the dominant staple crop tends to be rice, a highly coveted grain. In subhumid locations where irrigation is unavailable, rain-fed maize and upland rain-fed rice tends to replace irrigation-based rice as the dominant staple crops. In yet drier lands, farmers shift to more drought-resistant crop varieties such as sorghum and millet, as well as tubers such as cassava. In the driest habitable lands, farming of food crops becomes impossible altogether, and pastoralism, meaning animal husbandry on pasture land, becomes predominant. The African Sahel, the Horn of Africa, and much more of the Middle East and arid Central Asia are the home to pastoralist communities raising camels, goats, sheep, and cattle, and often moving seasonally between pasture lands to follow the brief seasonal rains that replenish the pastureland grasses. The seasonal movement of pastoral communities is known as transhumance, and constitutes one of the most difficult and precarious lifestyles on the planet today. The very poorest of the poor are found in regions with low average water availability per person, high variability of rainfall, lack of irrigation, and low water storage capacity, for example, without dams, reservoirs, year-round rivers, or predictable runoff from snowmelt and glaciers. This description fits the African savanna and Sahel. These regions have almost no irrigation and lack year-round river runoff. When the rains fail, which they do with increasing frequency because of anthropogenic climate change, the crops, the livestock, and then the people die. It is not surprising that all 10 of the countries ranked as having the lowest human development are water-stressed countries with extensive dryland populations: Niger, Sierra Leone, Mali, Burkina Faso, Guinea-Bissau, Central African Republic, Chad, Ethiopia, Burundi, and Mozambique. In the pastoralist Horn of Africa, the water situation is so dire that violence is pervasive in Sudan, Chad, northern Uganda, Ethiopia, and Somalia. Pastoralists and farmers battle for the little water that remains, and water refugees who flee drought-stricken areas often trigger violent conflicts as they arrive in communities already suffering from poverty and water stress. The expanding water crisis. Much of the world today is already in a water crisis, and it will grow. Societies around the world are using more water than ever before, at increasing rates, while paying too little attention to the future consequences of that consumption. As we have seen with other sustainability challenges, growing populations and the unsustainable mining of natural resources, in this case the depletion of groundwater and the continued damming of rivers, will intersect with climate change to make this crisis all the more urgent. The Swedish hydrologists Malin Falkenmark and Johan Rockström draw a distinction between two kinds of water from rainfall: green water and blue water. Green water is vapor flow from soil, surface water, foliage, or transpiration from plants. Green water flows can be divided into two subgroups: productive green water flows, or transpiration from plants as a result of photosynthesis, and evaporation, which results from water being heated by the sun. Blue water is the liquid flow, which either stays on the surface or recharges underwater aquifers. Essentially, once the raindrop hits the soil, it is taken up by plants or it evaporates, in which case it is green water, or it becomes part of a river, lake, or aquifer, in which case it is blue water. Pressures to produce more food, both crops and livestock, not only increased the demand for irrigation, blue water, but also for rain, green water. In many parts of the world, we have exceeded sustainable limits on the withdrawals of water from groundwater aquifers and from rivers. The overuse of groundwater, at a rate much faster than the aquifers are recharged, is a pervasive problem, including in some of the most populous parts of the world. The main factor in groundwater use is the usual suspect, irrigation. Farmers around the world, from the high plains of the United States to the Gangetic Plain of northern India to Australia, have been sinking millions of bore wells and pumping water out of once plentiful groundwater aquifer sources at an astounding rate. Though bore wells were an essential part of the Green Revolution, particularly in India, the indiscriminate use and unregulated access to groundwater resources is putting entire aquifers in peril. The overpumping of groundwater not only leads to the disappearance of the resource, it also has further harmful consequences. It can lead to land subsidence, literally a collapse of the land above the aquifers, a phenomenon that is increasingly frequent in major cities such as Beijing. It can also lead to the contamination of those aquifers with salt water, the salination and poisoning of soils, and collapse of aquifers that reduces their storage capacity.